Let's dive into a new year of learning Parsha and added in this whole new layer of learning with Ramban. You know, we think about Torah and science sometimes when we think about Parsha's Bereishis. Ramban actually has several important questions and several important yesodos in looking at Parsha's Noach. So I want to briefly take a look at a comment Ramban makes in Perek Tes towards the end of the Sedra and then circle back to a comment that he has in Perek Vav. Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Beis. Noach is post Mabel, post Teva. Noach emerges and the world is desolate. And Noach is, it's hard to imagine how shaken Noach was. If you're using the paper sheets, it's the one that's marked Perek Tes. And Rebbe Shalom says, this is not going to happen again. Understandably, you would be very hesitant to begin to build a family, to begin to build a civilization. You know, the last one didn't turn out so well. I'm not going to bring another Mabel. And Rosh Hashanah says, this is a sign of the promise that I'm making, the covenant that I'm making, that there will never be another Mabel. And the sign is what? The rainbow, right? The keshes. So what does that mean? Before the Mabel. What was going on before the Mabel after it rained? Rabban says, Zelz Os Abris HaSher Anino saying, Rabban says, Mimasha Min Ha'os HaZeh Shelo Haya Keshes Ba'anan Demais Abrashus. If you say this is the Os, so it sounds like there was no rainbow originally. From the days of Mas Abrashus, from the creation of the world until after the Mabel, there was no such thing. It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new reality. After the Mabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to provide a sign to Noach and to all of humanity to follow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates something called the rainbow. He says, the rainbow now, that's the oath. So the first question he has is, why rainbow? The Amar B'Tama O says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created anything. So why is a rainbow sort of taken for granted because we've seen this Pesukim so many times. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create anything, why is a rainbow actually like the best sign? Come on in, help yourself to... Lecher. So Ravan says, Amr B'tam Ha'o says that, pshat and why a rainbow is such a particularly appropriate sign, ki ha'keshes lo asa'o shehe raglav lamala sheyira'e ki ilu min ha'shamayim morimbo. Got to remember that the bow was the gun of once upon a time. That's the way you shot. So a bow as in a bow and arrow. So the bow, it's not pointing downwards. If the feet of the bow of the rainbow are on the ground, that means it's pointing up. It's not raglav l'mayla. It's not with its feet up in the air. Sheyira it would look ki'ilu min ha'shamayim orimbo, as though they're shooting down from the shamayim at the earth. Yishalach chitzav yifitzim b'arz. Rebbe Shalom is attacking the world. No, he made it the other way around. Aso behefach mizeh l'haros shelo yoru b'nei ha'shamayim. Ramban says it's a beautiful sign. It's a turned around, it's a reversed bow. It's a reversed gun. The same way when you handle when you learn how to handle a knife, you pass a knife to someone else, you never point the blade at the person you're passing it to. Right? You hold it by the blade, and you pass it handle first. Right? Rachmar Litzlan, in a violent situation, a person has the blade out to the person that he's attacking. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki'ilu, holding the bow facing him, facing the Shamayim, rather than facing us. So it's a sign of peace.
Yeah, but once you shoot a bow back, once you shoot a bow up, it does come down.
Yeah, it's not necessarily going to come down with force.
I mean, it's
the rainbow. Yeah, but again, it's a symbol. It's a way of saying the gun is turned away from you. The bow is turned away from you. And then he goes on to say, "V'chein derech hanil chamim lahafoch oso biyadam kacha." That's what warriors will do to reverse the bow. Kasha yikruul shalom mishne kenegdo. I mentioned about the knife. So that was common practice with the in antiquity as a sign of peace. Hold the bow backwards. As a matter of fact, I think some historians believe that the once upon a time, a long time ago, people used to do this thing called shaking hands. I don't know if you remember. And once upon a time, like 8 months ago, we used to do something called shaking hands. So apparently, we should be Zochim Ritzchem to shake hands again. Rabbi Shem should grant us the capacity to do that once again. This will be a memory, hopefully soon. So what's pshat in shaking hands? So I believe many historians believe that the idea, it originated with a demonstration that my hands are free of weapons. You can feel my hand. The way the Midrashim described a couple of weeks from now with Lavan's encounter with Eliezer, with Yaakov, right? So feeling to see, are you armed, are you unarmed? So it's a demonstration. You see, my hands are open, I'm unarmed. You can shake my hand, there's nothing there. That's a sort of a similar type of a day here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, holding the bow backwards. Could I, in theory, shoot the bow up and the arrows would come down? Perhaps. But certainly, it's a demonstration that a common peace. That's number one. So number one, the first layer of symbolism is just the way in which it's pointing. The ode, and number two, if the rainbow is a bow, is it a complete bow or is it an incomplete bow? What's missing? Pretty key piece. Not the string, right? She'ein l'keshes yoser. It has no cord l'chonein chitzim alav that you could knock arrows on. A bow that is not strung is obviously not going to, it's like a gun that's not loaded. Right? It's a gun that's been taken apart. So it's a sign of, it's pointing out the way, it's stringless, it's a sign of peace. But then he says, Ramban says, I explained to you, why the Rebbe Elishan would choose a rainbow, but in terms of the more basic question of were there rainbows before the Mabul, Ramban says, you might think, mimashma, he had opened by saying mimashma, the initial implication of the psukim is that rainbows didn't exist beforehand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them afresh right now. But then the Rabban goes on to say, "Anachnu al karchenu na min l'divrei ha'yivanim." We must, interesting language, we're mukhrach. We must. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We must believe the words of the Yevanim, "Shemilahar Hashemesh ba'avir halach yeha keshes betolada." That it's the keshes is betolada is just created. It's a consequence instead. It's a result of lahad Hashemesh ba'avir halach. When you have sunlight coming through, filtering through moist air, you get a rainbow. This is a natural phenomenon. This is not a new creation. And Rabban says, why should we believe the Greek scientists? Now, the Greek scientists say that a rainbow is not some unique phenomenon that's not an application or anything. No, this is an application of general kolam of physics. In other words, it will probably exist from Sheshes and Abrasions. And why should we believe the scientists? Not just because they said so, but because of scientific method. Because we can experiment and we can replicate this. We can demonstrate that this happens. Ki b'chli mayim, Rabban says, he describes the classic experiment. Ki b'chli mayim l'fnei ha-shemesh, this is centuries before Newton. Ki b'chli mayim l'fnei ha-shemesh, yira'eh kemara ha-keshes. If you put a glass of water in the sun, you can artificially create a rainbow. So clearly, it's not just some special celestial phenomenon. This is an application of basic optics. So Rabban says, if the scientists can demonstrate it, I believe the scientists. So he says, Misvara, this must have existed before the Mabul as well. And then he says, if you look more carefully at the Psukim, if you do a better job of learning the psukim carefully, you'll see it. Ki amar eskashti nosati be'anon, v'lo amar ani nosein be'anon. Kasher amar zos os habris asher ani nosein. It says, present tense, I am giving it as an os bris, as a sign of the bris, but it doesn't say I am giving the keshes. When it refers to the rainbow itself, that's past tense. In other words, Rabban says, there already was a rainbow. The rainbows have been around since Sheshes and Mebreshes. That Ayah Kadosh Baruch Hu created a long time back, they've always existed. It'll be also an os bris ben yuvenechem. Ah. It'll be an os. So it's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the rainbows now. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the rainbows in Sheshes and Mebreshes. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu is given a new meaning. He says, just like you'll get later in Chumash Breshes, the avos are literally cutting deals. They're making a covenant, a treaty with this one, with that one, with Avimelech, various geopolitical deals, and they often give, they'll give seven sheep as an os bris. It's not that they created the sheep were there, but now I'm taking the pre-existing sheep, and from now, this point on, these sheep will be a way of remembering the bris that we just made. So he says, that's what the pasuk says. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, as Kash Nesati Be'anan, I already created a rainbow. So from this point on, Zos Osa Bris Hashani No Saint. This is, from this point on, it's not just going to be an interesting, colorful, optical phenomenon. It'll also now have added meaning. It'll be like those sheep. It'll be the reminder of the Bris. So it's fascinating to see the way the Ramban deals with the scientific information. Clearly doesn't reject it out of hand. He feels mukhrach to accept it because it's because of scientific method, because he can replicate it. And then he says, as a matter of fact, if you look in the psukim, he's not scared. He says, as a matter of fact, if you look in the psukim, if you learn the psukim more carefully, the diukim actually flow in this direction. So with that, let's turn, now that we've seen the way he deals with the science after the Mabul, let's take a peek at the way he deals with and a deep yesod that the Ramban has back in Perek Vav. For those who are online, let's bring up here on the screen. Ramban and Perek Vav Pasuk Yutes, if you're here live. So it's the sheet that is Perek Vav, unless you have your own Ramban. Welcome in. There are sheets right here. Help yourself. Ramban Perek Vav. Ribbono Shel decides he's going to bring a Mabul. And Ribbono Shel identifies Noach and his family, the ones that are going to survive, as we know. And tells Noach that he has a very significant construction project. He has to build a teva to save biodiversity, to save the wealth of species of animals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Now, Bada writes that if you're looking inside the sefer in a paper copy, it's the very bottom of page Nun Gimel, Paragvav Pasuk Gittes. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring a Mabul, you're going to have to build a Teva, and this Teva is not just for you. It's going to contain Mikol Basar, Mikol Hachai, Shnai, Mikol, two of every species. Says the Ramban, Yadua ki Hachai is Rabba's Ma'od. We know that there are so many different species of animals. Mehen Gedolos Ma'od, Kepilim, Re'emim, Vizulasam. Now, some of them are enormous. Imagine getting two elephants into the teva. Imagine getting two, what a ra'im is a good question. Maybe a rhinoceros. Maybe something else. V'haremes haromes al ha'aretz rav ma'od. Fascinating. Ramban was well aware that there are innumerable species of insects. V'gamayof ha'shamayim mini rabbein l'nisbar. We're going to lose count of how many birds there are. And he says, the Gemara points this out. We know it from direct observation. And we know from the Gemara, quotes the Gemara Maseches Chulin. I don't know if you got to the end of the third parak last year. Mea ve'esther mine ofos tamei miyish b'mizrach v'chulam min ayahim. You know, the psukim more than once list, you may remember from learning Chulin last year, that one of the uniquenesses of flying creatures in terms of kashrus is that the Torah doesn't give siman and pano which are kosher, the Torah gives a list of which are treif. A list of approximately 20 different treif birds. So the Gemara makes a point, you have to realize each of those items on the list, it's not just a species, it's a category. Whether it's a genus or a family or an order, but each one is a category. And the way the Gemara says it is just under the title ayah, which is one of the treif birds that the Torah lists. There are, and if you go further east, the Gemara says you'll find 120 different species of birds, all of which fit under this one category of ayah. And there are around 20 different such categories. And that's just the treifa birds. Ulofus tahorim ein misper. Most birds are kosher. So just try to imagine tens of thousands, at least, species of birds alone. The hinid starech lahavi mikulam sholidu kamosam. What's a Kodesh Baruch Hu asking Noach? Every species. Otherwise, you're going to lose that species. It's not going to reproduce. Just think about the size of the floating zoo that you're creating, and you need to store food for a year. No zoo stores food for a year. Think about how large the Bronx Zoo is. And think about how large a football field is. And think about how large the teva is. Because the teva was how long? We just learned it yesterday afternoon. How long was the teva? Shlosh mayo sama, 300 amas long. So that's the largest shear that would probably be, that would be 500-600 feet. How long is a football field? 300 feet, right? 100 yards. So we're talking about something that's the size of the teva is the size of maybe four football fields, which is big, but not compared to zoos. So how is this supposed to work? And the food. He says, no, the teva, 10 tevas couldn't have held all of this. So how'd this work? So what's the answer? Ivan says, well, okay, it was a nace. The whole novel was a nace. So the teva was a nace. Avahu nace. Yeah?
Do Noah have to search for these animals, or do they?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. There are indications that to an extent they showed up. The Rabban actually just addresses, I think, Rashi and Rabban addressed that later. But I think you're touching on a larger point. Rabban says, obviously, the teva must have been an ace. There's no way that physically, naturally, you could have built, that this teva would have been anywhere near large enough. And remember, you think of how enormous the zoo is compared to a football field. And bear in mind that zoos have, a really large zoo will have maybe a couple of hundred species on display. Not every single species out there. This is overwhelming. Ravan says, clearly it's a nace. What's the problem? What's the logical problem, though, if it's a nace? What's the kasha? Clearly it's a nace, but on the other hand, learn chumash like you mean it, chaver. We learn the sugya of the teva, or maybe we learn the sugya of Torah and science. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with nature, as we're going to see, that's the deeper you said here. Says it's clearly the teva, with the fact that teva held everything was an ace. Yeah, but on the other hand, if it's taka an ace, it says ehu nace hechazek muad is hamaruba. This is an ace. That's such a small, the table was gargantuan, but relatively speaking, such a small area could hold so much more. And the number one, he's already given you a title for the nace, Mu'at Machazik is Hamaruba, which is a pattern you find elsewhere. We know the Mishnah in Avos talks about Ondim Tzefufim, Mishtachavim, Revachim. In Yom Kippur, people are shoulder to shoulder, standing room only, Mamash, in Beis HaMikdash. And when it comes to time to Meshachava, and with Meshachava with room to spare. A nace. Right? Chazal speak about the nace of how so many Jews in the Midbar were able to simultaneously witness what's going on at the Mishkan. Mu'at machazik es hamaruba. We've seen this before. He says, one second. So then there's a very simple kasha. Im tomer yasena ketanav yitzmach al nace hazeh. So if it's going to be a nace anyways, 300 amas is also a nace. So what... Can you imagine, with ancient construction techniques, the amount of work and tircha that goes into building a structure 300 amos long? Twice as long as a football field. A single structure, twice as long as a football field. What?
There's also a question, if Hashem was going to make a nace to squeeze all the animals in regardless, why does it have to be even 300?
Exactly. That's exactly Rabban's kasha. Exactly, Chaim. That's what he said. Yasena Katai, Zmachal Nase says it. So once they make an ace anyways, So you could just make it the size of your living room. It's a nice either way. So why does Noach have to knock himself out? Yeah, what would you say? What? Ah, so why? So Binyamin is saying, let's ask the same question about Beis HaMikdash. Why is the Beis HaMikdash so big? It's a good question. On the other hand, that nays, there is a sharp kasha. I would push back, though, that the kasha does not necessarily apply to the Beis HaMikdash too, because the Beis HaMikdash usually naturally fit what was going on. Every once in a while, on Yom Kippur, there was a special nays. Okay. But here, the entire design purpose of the Teva is to hold Noach and all the animals over the course of the Mabul. So if for its purpose, for its entire purpose, it's going to be held together by Nisan. So then, why not? Why is Noach having to matriach himself? So Ramban gives two answers, and each of them is fascinating, different directions. Two teiritzim. He says number one, Ro Hashem Yisbarach laasosa gedola kedeisha yiru osa bnei doro v'yismahu ba v'yisapru aleha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Noach to make it so large so that other people would see. So they would wonder, what's going on? And they would talk about it. It was a publicity stunt. It was the first publicity stunt. That's what Rabban says. This was an advertising gimmick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the holiest, best sense of the term, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get people, he wanted the population. It wasn't just for Noach. It wasn't so big for the animals. It was so big for everyone else. So the other people would have the opportunity. This would become a talk of the town, the talk of the civilization. Ula yasu tshuva. That was the goal. It wasn't, that's Ramban's first teretz, which gets you thinking about the fact that things often have more than one purpose. That's a yisod for life. What was the purpose of the Mabul? The purpose of the Mabul was to save everyone inside. Yeah, the purpose of the Mabul may also have been to potentially save everyone outside. Let's see if we can bring more people in. Let's see if we can turn around the civilization. Let's see if we can get people to do tshuva. Noach is working on it for a very long time. Right, well over a century. So that was meant to be an opportunity to turn things around. To turn around entire civilization, or at least to turn around some people. To help a few people. And no one bit. But the first approach is the Rebbe Shem was given a chance for others. Yeah, question. Question? Any question here? Okay. Then Rabban says another teretz. And here we come back to overlap with the theme of that first Ramban we saw, from a different angle. He said, even if the purpose of the mob of the Teva, even within the primary purpose of the Teva, which was preserving, fitting Adam, excuse me, Noach, and the entire biodiversity that he's bringing in with him, the Oda Suo Sal Gedola Lema'et Denes. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to minimize. We want to minimize the miracle. We had a chance to discuss with some of you last week in the context of thinking about different approaches to understanding Bereshis in light of modern scientific developments. Ki chein haderech b'chol hanisim sheba Torah o ba neviim la'asosa ma shebiyad adam la'asos v'hashar yihyeh bidei shamayim. He says, that's a pattern that you find throughout the Tanakh. That when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim, he'll try to do as much of it as possible through human beings, as much of it as possible, in other words, naturally, and everything else will be Bidei Shamayim. And this Ramban is sort of capping off a larger theme that both the Rambam and Ramban talk about in a couple of places, which is that to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you believe that God created the universe, so by the Rishon point out, by definition, that means that any nes is possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of matter and energy, as Ramban points out in, I think, Parakal Pasuk Dalet, in last week's parasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created physics and chemistry, biology, everything. So then obviously, he's the one who made it all. He can suspend it at will. Of course, any nace is possible. But at the same time, that belief in a Borei Olam implies logically that any nace is possible. It doesn't mean that every single possible nace actually happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any nace he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could suspend nature as much as he wants to. But as the Rambam and Ramban both point out, looking throughout Tanakh, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and looking throughout our own lives, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu generally chooses to not do Nisim, to keep things as natural as possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to create a totally random universe, where he was constantly doing Nisim, and there would be no science and no mathematics and no pattern at all, and no rhythm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to do that, a totally random stochastic world. He chose not to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create an orderly, predictable, mathematical universe. Why? We can imagine why. But ultimately, that was Ribbono Shel Olam's decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the one who created the physics and the chemistry and biology. He wants the world to usually work that way. Every once in a while, Ribbono Shel Olam will decide to step away from that and to suspend the usual patterns of physics and chemistry. Okay, so it happens from time to time. And the Rishonim, Ramban, both talk elsewhere about sort of studying the patterns of Nisim. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to do Nisim? He wants the world to be natural. It's the nature that he created. So they develop. The usual HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim to solve a particular problem, a Yeshua for Kal Yisrael, a Yeshua for a particular tzaddik. And then sometimes, Ramban in particular talks about this, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do Nisim for an educational purpose rather than for a practical purpose. The Makos, Rabban develops at length. The Mishnah will see this when we get there. Rabban develops at length that the Makos were not, the purpose of the Makos was not just to extract the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. If it was, well, exactly. Then he could have just skipped straight to Makos Bechoros. So if the purpose of the Makos was to extract the Jewish people, it means Rabban was dying 100. 10 makos, only the last one worked. So you'll say, look, certainly a piece of it was Bechir Chavshas for Paro for the first 5 makos, and then the latter 5 makos were all the makos were in part what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu in the Bris Ben Absarim, the Gamas HaGoyish HaVod Don Anochi, was an onish for the Mitzrim. The Ramban points out in Va'era and Bo, if you read the Psukim carefully, the Torah keeps saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sending this makos so that you will know that I exist. So that you will know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world. So that you will know. So the makos were often, the makos had an educational element to them too. So coming back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create a world with teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create a world that would be governed by natural principles, rhythms, patterns that he himself crafted, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself crafted. Every once in a while, he'll choose to do Nisim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as possible, tries, by his choice, by divine choice, keeps things natural. Here the Ramban goes a step further, and he says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when he's doing Nisim, tries to keep the Nes as low-key as possible. It's not just a question of minimizing the frequency of Nisim, it's also minimizing the magnitude of Nisim. So that's the second yesod the Rabban has here. He says, maybe, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have also done a nace, and the teva could have been a 12 by 12, and pack everyone in. That could have worked as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done that nace, but that would have been a much more blatant nace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep things as natural as possible. Even though he's doing a nace, he wants to be mima'et b'nace. And the way he puts it is, as much as possible, it will be what human beings do. Lasso summons Kedai to see this inside Rabosai, because this has additional reverberations for our lives. This is the pattern you see throughout the Nisim in Chumash and Banavim. Lasos mashbiyad adam lasos, that man does what he's able to do, what's biyado. V'hashar yibidei shamayim, whatever is beyond human capacity, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills in the rest. So that speaks to, I think this is sort of like a, on one level, this is sort of like the second step for what we saw in Perek Tes. That is, we're not scared of signs. I don't have it. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the signs. And we assume that things are going to work in tandem. Sometimes we can figure out, sometimes you haven't yet figured out. Okay. There are many kashas don't yet have the tarots to. And here he's sort of digging deeper to think about this notion that the science was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He decided he wanted it there. He decided he doesn't want Nisim all the time. That's by divine decision. And taking a step further, he even decided that when Nisim happened, it should be as much as possible be Day Adam. So that's one layer of this. And I would suggest you to think of one other layer of this. Because up until this point, so this is very fascinating, doesn't necessarily seem so practical. But this is beautiful ideas. Pshat in the Chumash, an interesting kasha, beautiful terutzim. But you'll say, I need to open my eyes to notice the Nisim, the star in my life all the time, but we haven't experienced Nisim Niglim in a very long time. But here's what's interesting. When you read this line, it's not just true about Nisim Rabosai. When he says, take a look inside, whether you're looking on screen or in a sefer or on the paper copies, again, his second teretz was the pattern is, he's talking about Nisim, says the pattern is that human beings need to do whatever they're able to do, and everything else will be, once we've done everything we can do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will handle the rest miraculously. Now what's fascinating is, the Rabban's first teretz here, his first explanation why Ribbono Shel Olam insisted Noach has to build such a big teva, if it's a nes anyways, the first answer, well, it had to do with encouraging people to tshuva. It had to do with human growth. Maybe we can bring around the other members of the society. So, to an extent, even though in the second terrace you talk about Nisim, that's not just true for Nisim. That's a general pattern of the way Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. That he expects us to do what we're capable of doing. And there's also going to be Siyata Deshmaya. It's not only true by Nisim Guluyim. It's most obviously true by Nisim Guluyim. You think about Noah building a teva as big as he can. You think about the Nisim of Eliyahu and Elisha. It tells the woman, instead of just creating oil, b'neis, it says, you know, get a canister of oil and get empty containers and pour and pour and pour. It's all Nisim. It's an absolute violation of conservation of mass. That 8 ounces of oil could become 180 ounces of oil. Clearly an ace, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, stand back, I'm going to split the yamsa for you. But he said, no, neteyes yadcha, I wanted to wave the mata. And according to Chazal, Nachshon actually jumped in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need that. So it's certainly true for Nisan. It's also true for life in general. True for life in general. We'll see soon, as we progress in Mesil Shisharm. Mesil Shisharm quotes the beautiful Diak in Gemara Maikatan, that the odds are, one of the things you learn from Parshas Breishis is post Gan Eden, the odds are stacked against us. It's really hard to succeed against the Yetzer Hara. It's really, really difficult. The Ganesh Baruch Hu rewired our psyche, such that it's are very tempting all the time. It takes incredible effort to succeed against the Yetzer Hara. And as Ramchal points out, the Gemara tells us, with all the effort in the world, we're not going to succeed without additional Siyata Deshmaya. But we need to do our part, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kick in with Siyata Deshmaya. Pisuli Pesach Kipisul Shomachar. We have to make the first open breakthrough. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will widen the way. So what the Ramban is saying about Nisim is it's almost like a more general application of a more general principle about life, about us and Ribbono Shel Olam. That we do lasos ma shebiyad adam lasos. We have to do what we're capable of doing. V'ashar yiyeh b'dei shamayim. And the rest will be bidei shamayim, whether miraculously or not. And that's the famous Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon in Pirkei Avos. Lo halacha amlacha ligmar, v'yatar hashali batal hamena. It's not on me to get everything done, but it doesn't therefore mean that I could just quit. If I say, well, the job is way too big, no, I can finish it. Okay, so get to work and do as much as you can. And you got a daven for Hatzacha. But lasos mashib yaradam lasos v'ashar yibidishoim. I think it's a yisod about nature, but it's also a yisod about the relation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to people. Yeah, Tani. Let me see if I understand your question. So you're saying, you want to know how come, you're saying, the questions Ramban is asking, why the teva is too small and too big, right? It's too small to work naturally, and if it's a nace anyways, why'd it have to be as big as it was? You're asking, well, how come Noach didn't ask it? Right. Ah, that's interesting. Let me repeat for the guys on the side of the room and for the guys on Zoom who can't hear your kasha. So what you're asking is, your point is that Noach wasn't bothered by these questions, or was he? Was Noach bothered by that? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I want you to build a teva 300 amos long, and it's going to fit every single species in the world. So did Noach ask the question, or did he not? If he didn't, is that a chisaron or a milah? Interesting. Is that a milah? He didn't ask. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, I'll do it. Or is it a chisaron? He should have tried to understand more. Yeah. And did he? We don't even... It's hard to know. Right? We hear very little of Noach's mouth. Bechlal. I think we've discussed this in the past. Even the people whom we hear the most about in Tanakh, and the people whom we hear speaking the most in Tanakh, Avraham Avinu, Yosef, certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, we still hear a tiny fraction, a fraction of a percent went on in their lives. Avraham Avinu lives 175 years. How much do we know about Avraham Avinu and Chumash? Very little. Why? Again, the Gemara was touched on a number of times. Megil Daf Yedal, Nevush HaTruchel Daros Nechta, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not seeking. These are historical records, but it is not meant to be a comprehensive historical record. It's not meant to be a history book. This is meant to be a book of lessons. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a curated selection of stories of the Avos and so forth that are eternally relevant. So we don't know. There's a lot. We don't hear most of what Noach said. It's Noach for sure. We hear very, very few words out of Noach's mouth in Chumash. Right. Right. So maybe the Noach did not challenge. Yeah, I would close with this, and then I wanna pivot to the next part of our morning, which is gonna be much Chazar Asiyan. Rashi opens Parshas Noach by very famously comparing and contrasting Noach and Avram. We could also compare and contrast Avram and Yonah. Because Avram... Because Avram and Yonah are both told things by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they are very troubled by. Both of them have Akasha. The Akedah, that's clear. When Akedah is over, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains... You know, I just want to put at that point. Once Avram is told to step back, that's when the kashas begin to flow. Whereas Yonah, and it's clear if you read Rashi, Avram was bothered beforehand But he was willing to act on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's clear command, despite the fact he couldn't make sense of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly expects this, so that's what I need to do. I would love to understand it, but I'm not going to predicate my performance on my understanding. There may be things I'm understanding I'm still going to perform. Well, Yonah, the chet of Yonah, was the first time around, he bothered him, how can I do this? He refused to perform. And what's fascinating is that tshuva of Yonah is both paragimel and paragdalet. In paragimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah again, and he goes to Nineveh, but it's not that now it makes sense to him. Because in paragdalet, after he goes to Nineveh, he retreats from Nineveh, and he has this ongoing conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand, why do you want me to do this? Why are you doing this? And as a matter of fact, to the very last pasuk, it's not clear that Yonah ever really comes to a place he understands the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's svara. The tshuva was to be like Avram, to understand if there's sometimes isn't a clear tshuva from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if there's a clear tshuva from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I can have the intellectual humility to act even if I don't fully understand why Ribbono Shel Olam wants this of me. So where Noach fits into this is it's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Okay, Shkoyach Avram. Shkoyach Avram. This is just the beginning of our Mitzvah Tavshin Pei Aleph cycle. Of learning Chumash the Ramban, of opening ourselves up to the added layers of richness the Ramban will share with us.